Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
There's no one, Jesus. There is no one. There is no one. Jesus, there is no one else like you. No one. Jesus, there is no one. Jesus, there is no one. Jesus, there is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else. There is no one. You are great. You are great. You the miracle so great. There is no one. There is no one else like you. There is no one else. You are great. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else.
There is no one else like you.
There is no one else. There is no one else like you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. Can we be seated? So today's theme is the envoys of his glory. The envoys of his glory. Envoys of his glory. Hallelujah. Envoy. What is an envoy? An envoy is a diplomatic agent or authorized representative sent by a government, an organization, or a leader to conduct official negotiations, deliver messages, or manage specific affairs. Is that true? But for us today, we won't talk about the envoys of God's glory. Do you people even know the definition of the glory of God? If you know, can I see your hands? Anybody, you know the definition of the glory of God? That man with speck, are you not a minister of the gospel? Come and sit here as a minister. Maybe my members don't know you're a pastor. So come and sit. Hallelujah with Jesus. Who can define the glory? Your glory carriers?
Yes, sir.
So bring the mic for Titi. Titi, come. You will never see it coming. Bring the mic for Titi. All right, come forward. Abi, your name have changed. Yes. The law. In law. In law, who is the law? The law, my in-law. Come, I give him the mic. Tell us, define the glory of God. It's all yours. The stage is yours.
Hallelujah, church. When prophet is speaking of glory, the first thing that came to my mind is kabod. And kabod meaning the witness of God, everything that makes God, God. So from my own point of view, the glory of God is everything that makes God, God, including himself, the heavens, the earth, and even we, his creation, by the glory of God, in my own opinion. Thank you.
Why are you emphasizing in my own opinion? So that if I want to give you my own opinion, we will not contradict each other. That's good. He did well. The microphone, you want to continue preaching? Hallelujah. Who has a contrary opinion about the glory of God? If you do. Okay, linguists, you have a contrary opinion? Nobody has something to add, an addendum? Okay, Latifa has. You know, Latifa has been preaching lately on Facebook. I've been observing her. Woman of God, come and tell us. Yes, Miss Latifa. Give her the mic. You can stand behind the pulpit. So what is the glory of God?
Hallelujah, church. So my understanding of the glory is, so I would say the ideologies of God, his personality, and his thoughts, because his word is his ideology and his word is his glory. So I would say the word of God is his glory. His ideologies are his glory, and it was manifested in a person who is Jesus Christ, because the Bible tells us that he's the express image of God. So I would say the glory is the ideologies of God, the word of God manifested in Christ Jesus. That's the glory.
Amen. Beautiful. All right, I think we'll stop here. Both of them are right, amen, in their own unique ways. You know, like they will say, she said in my, how did she say her own self? The way me, I understand it. He said, in my own opinion. Hallelujah. Now, both of them are right in their ways. Are we together? So, actually, I don't have anything far from what they've said. They came very close. The glory of God is the manifest presence of God. The manifest presence of God. Tite said, the first time he came to church, he heard me speaking about kabod. It is the Hebrew word for the glory of God. And the Hebrew guy says, they gave this illustration that I will never forget. They say, if you weigh God on his scale, whatever you get is his glory. Meaning the glory of God is everything that makes God God. And complementing with what Latifa said, the glory of God was revealed in Christ Jesus. When Christ came, everything about God was revealed in Christ. He is the express image of the Father. Let's see it in Hebrews 1. From verse 3, the express image of the Father and all the ideologies, he says something about ideologies. Everything God wanted to say, he said in Jesus. Everything he has been trying to express to say, I mean, everything he has been trying to say from the Old Testament through the New Testament was perfectly communicated when Jesus arrived. In that regard, you look at verse 1, it says, before we hit verse 3, it says, God who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Now in various ways, various times and in various ways, he tried speaking in time past to the fathers. You know the fathers, right? The Old Testament fathers of faith, right? Father Abraham and everybody, Ezekiel, Elijah, and all of them. He tries speaking to them in several ways. Are we together? Through lamb slain, through sacrifices, and etc. He was trying to point them to something. Not so that they become rituals. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Are you people understanding me? And in verse 2, the Bible says, let's read together. 1, 2, read. Has in this last day spoken. So he stopped there now. He has finished speaking. Everything he was trying to communicate through the Old Testament, he finally found expression in Christ Jesus. How? And it paints a picture in our heart that if God finished speaking in Christ, if he had tried speaking to the fathers of faith in various ways and he finished speaking in Christ, that simply means that all the things he was trying to communicate to the folks in the Old Testament was not supposed to be the focal point. That it was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. For instance, lamb slain. Jesus is a lamb that takes away what? So the whatever they were doing in the Old Testament was a practice pointing to the coming of Jesus. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Are you getting confused? So he tries speaking to them that, I mean, you're going to be forgiven when I'm dead, buried, and resurrected in the future. So they were trying to practice that communication in their days. And when Jesus came and said, I am the lamb that takes away the sins of the world, now he has finished speaking. That's what he had been trying to say. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And several rituals to make them clean until Jesus came and they really became pure. For instance, they used to get into water. John the Baptist, who was the last prophet from the Old Testament. You know, baptism was an old time practice. It was not a New Testament belief. The Bible said, of all men born of women, there is no prophet greater than John the Baptist. But he said, the least in the New Testament kingdom world is greater than John the Baptist. I will get what I'm trying to say. In other words, his practice, you know, I know as I'm saying this, you are wondering, but it happened in the book of Acts. You must understand that the Bible is supposed to be rightly divided. In that regard, I'm trying to say that even people, you know, don't think that those guys were superhuman beings. They were human beings like you people. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So they had errors too. Now, there was even a glitch, some sort of, in 1 Corinthians 1, you see where Paul was arguing baptism with some of the disciples. He was arguing baptism. He was arguing the belief of baptism. At a point in that part of scripture, he said, I thank God that I did not baptize anybody. You guys get what I'm trying to say? But he now mentioned a few people he did. He said, but he now stopped. Trying to make them understand that what makes people pure is not anything we do in the physical, but the fact that we are relying on the finished work of Jesus on Calvary. And at a point, he made them to understand that Jesus is a stumbling block to the Jews. A stumbling block. How? When he came, the things he was communicating altered the beliefs of the Jews. They felt like now, you see, whatever God was trying to do in the Old Testament, lamb slain, all several washings and etc. to make people pure, was not to the end that it becomes a religion, it becomes a practice. But what the enemy did was that he made it a tradition with them. Such that when Jesus came, they were using those traditions that should point to him to fight Jesus. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So Jesus came, and when he was trying to communicate to them that the end of all of this tradition is over, they were even using the traditions to fight him. For instance, they asked him, are you greater than our father Abraham who told us to do this? Are you greater than our father Jacob who told us? For instance, remember the well, John 4, when he met that woman by the well and told her to give him water to drink. And of course, when she did not give, he started communicating to her that true worship is not a function of taking water from this particular well. You don't need to even take water from the well. Out of your belly shall flow what? She was offended because it was a very unique practice in their days. That well was a spiritual well. And Jesus was making the well look like a common well, like that everybody can fetch water and just drink. So they were not excited. He was a stumbling block to the Jews. Take for instance, you know, after Jesus left the earth, when he was glorified into the realm of the spirit, the Bible said something in Romans 10 and 1, that Paul continued the fight. Even Paul continued the fight. Let's read Romans 10 and 1. Brethren, my what? I want everybody to read. One, to go. Is, you see that? So his prayer for Israel is that they may be saved. Paul was praying for a people who were very religious to be saved. You see that? Meaning they had not experienced true salvation. Even though they were wearing all the white and doing all of the things, they had all the decorums that painted the picture or suggested that they were Christians or knew what they were doing, Paul said they don't know what they are doing. Look at what he said in verse 2. Let's read together. 1, 2, read. For I bear them witness that they have zeal. They have burning zeal for God. But the zeal is not according to knowledge. Are you seeing this now? They go to church every, you know, the four corners of a building. That's what I'm referring to church now, not the way church should be described, meaning the people who know Christ. They will go to the buildings every time and bow their head and do all the decorations in the building. They have zeal. Have you seen people who have zeal? But they are in the wrong stuff. They are practicing wrong stuff with zeal. Just like those ones that kill, you know, that's the closest example I can give. They kill people in the name of God to them. They want to kill and they shout, Allahu Akbar, God is great. That's foolishness. Are you listening to me? They have zeal, but the zeal is not in accordance to knowledge. They are like how Paul used to be when he was describing himself in the book of Acts. He said he killed Christians with a clear conscience. He said, I killed Christians with a clear conscience. Paul speaking. It was on his way to Damascus that God encountered him. But prior to that time, Paul was killing Christians and he would go and give God all the praise. If he wants to kill a Christian, he will shout, Allahu Akbar. Probably, just citing that example. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Maybe he had anything he was saying else. But he was like, he killed Christians for God with a clear conscience. Because according to what he was taught, Christians were infidels probably. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Till today, Israel painted this picture that Jesus is a liar. If you go to Israel, they believe in the God of Abraham, but they don't believe in Jesus. What a shame. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? They believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they don't believe in Jesus. To them, Jesus is a scammer. If you go to present day Israel, I know you people were all shouting, those people, and some of us were going to pack their stones and the rest. They don't believe in your Jesus. One lie is still standing for generations and generations. One lie. What was the lie? We read in the Bible that one of the elders paid money to the soldiers and said that his body was what? That's the lie those guys are believing to today. We are calling it a lie. They said it's true. His body was stolen. That guy is a scammer. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's the power of false doctrine. Satan will always amplify wrong stuffs. He's the father of all lies. You think he's just a mere lie, just a doctrine that is wrong. We should not really put our heads there, you know, concentrate on the doctrine. We should let love lead. Listen, love cannot lead except doctrine is in place. Let's not be hypocrites. I would never enter a church without my shoes. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? I would never enter any church without my shoes. Because I believe that maybe I'll be infected by a disease if I put my foot on the ground. But there are certain people who believe that you don't enter a church building without your shoes. Take for instance, we are renting a space in Sheraton Makurdi. And when we're about to get into Sheraton, probably they've clubbed in this place before. Who knows? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? When they built this place, we're not the first people to be here. I don't know the people that were here before. From the initial point. Are you guys get what I'm trying to say? And before we enter now, we remove all our beautiful shoes and I'm with my leg here preaching. Now, I'm not trying to insult those folks, but I don't believe in it. But there are people who believe in it and they say, let love lead. In that, if prophet is invited, there should remove his shoes. I don't think I should be invited. Because I will not remove my shoes. Why? Because from the word of God, it doesn't make any sense. And what is the proof to them? Moses was before a holy ground. That's what they said. Not even Jesus removed his shoes to enter the temple. Ah. And he didn't tell the 12 to remove their shoes. And when he resurrected, he made us to understand that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Temple is removing his shoe to enter temple. Meanwhile, he has said, I don't live in temples made by human hands. He lives in temples only made by his hand and power. He didn't say, please, will you not leave me? He said, will you not leave too? What a leader. Imagine your leader asks you and say, why have you not left this church? How will you feel?
What kind of proud leader is that? And Jesus did that. He said, would you not, are you not seeing how they are living? You too, you can go. And they said to him, to whom should we go to? You have the word of eternal life. They had discerned that Jesus was saying the truth. He didn't try to water down the gospel. Are you listening to me? And with time, he took over the whole world. So somebody say amen. And that was a problem with the Pharisees. They believed in wrong things and they wanted to stay there, you know. And like I was saying, pastors should not try to just, they want to be in peace with people so they will not see the truth. No. You haven't hurting them more. You are destroying them more. Of course, scholars had said that the most hated people in the world are those that say the truth. That's just the truth. The truth. If you say the truth too much, people will not like you. They know that you are saying the truth. They'll be like, why are you saying it? Why did he have to say it? And if you say it too much, you'll now say you are being judgmental. You are being judgmental. People don't like truth. Those days in the bag, they say truth is alumo. It's like alumo. Is alumo an alcoholic drink? It is, right? Sorry. So let's use something. Truth. Truth na agbo. Huh? If you have tasted alumo, you can tell us the arguments here. Alumo bitters. You've tasted it before? Okay. Just for clarity. Who have tasted it before? Just tell us how it is. Anybody bless us tonight? If tasted alumo bitters? So everybody is denying that guy now. Nobody in this church has tasted alumo bitters. Wow. You have tasted it before? Eh? No, we just want to know. Have you tasted alumo before? Please stand up. Let's just know who people that have tasted. Where are his colleagues? Stand up now. If you have tasted, wave your hands to Jesus. Flora, you have tasted alumo? Alright, you can sit down. So the thing just cleans, you took it to clean your stomach, you said. Huh? When did you take it? Let them know that my pastor's take. Is it when you were born again? Is it when you were in this church? Stand up and tell us. When did you take it? A long time ago while you were in church and I didn't even know you at that time. You can sit down. Let's get this straight though. Before they will go and say one of the pastor, they won't take alumo. They say truth is bitter. You know, people don't like people that say the truth. They don't like them at all. One time I was interfaced with somebody that was praying, they call it a chaplet. I know as I'm saying this to some people who don't believe it, they would think that you are being a foolish pastor. And the person was complaining about sickness every time. And I said, how do you pray? Do you know the power of the Holy Ghost can change you and cleanse you? And I was just speaking about God's power and what God can do. And the person said, well, my time will come. Sometimes this sickness is for test. God has given it to test us. Now look at how God is. Picture God for 1 minute. Anybody? Just a few seconds. God, the way he's big, he will give you sickness to test you. Sickness. For people who are not born again in scripture, Jesus saw them and healed them. You that you are born again, God will look at everything in this world. His sickness, he wants to use to teach you something. Check the Bible. Jesus would just be walking like this. Woman with the issue of blood, she did not know Jesus before. She just heard that there's one man that is to heal. That was the only thing she knew. She was not born again. She said, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. She touched, she was whole. You did not only touch his clothes too. He is in you. The blood is still flowing. He's in you. His blood has been spilled for you. And your blood is still flowing. No, there's a problem somewhere. Now let that blood stop in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. He saw blind people. He healed them. Somebody asked him, who sinned for this guy to be born blind? The guy was born blind. And according to their doctrine, it has to be from the father's, mother's side, brother's side. That's where the deliverance minister got it from. When something is wrong with you, they'll ask you we need to burn something. There's an altar. Altar. Powers. bloodline, patterns. And they were asking Jesus, what is the pattern for this blindness? And Jesus said, I don't care about those. I don't like those useless questions. Let the glory of God just be revealed. Jesus did not think about the pattern. He didn't think. It didn't matter to Jesus. He was standing there. The source of the universe was standing there. Are you listening to me? We don't care what your father did, as long as you are standing before Jesus, that problem is solved. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Stop trying to dig into matters. How can you be born again and you are going to dig into matters? They say you are born again. You are not saying you want to excavate into issues, certain issues in your bloodline. You are the one that is finding trouble. You've belittled yourself. Then you start taking 21 days fast. A bad fight of faith. If there's a good fight of faith, there's a bad fight of faith. The bad fight of faith is that you are trying to destroy Satan. Can you destroy Satan? He has already been destroyed. Colossians 2 and 15. Let's read together. Give me the Amplified rendition. Everyone, I want you to read. Everyone, I want you to read. Colossians 2. Want to read? When he had... I'm not listening to all of you, especially those that pray those prayers. Let's read out loud. Want to go. All right. What? My God, what kind of dull church is this? Stop. Stop. What is your problem this morning? Can you blow somebody by your side? Just blow them. Blow somebody by your... Just hit them. Jesus blow. Are you sad now? Shake somebody. Shake the person. Don't be scared. If they want to beat you, call us. Brother, shake your sister. Shake. All right. With this energy now, let's read. One, two, go. Heaven. Can I have this in the NLT? Just NLT. All movement restricted. Want to read in this way. They've been disarmed. Can I read this in the TPT? Are you here? Want to read? Shout glory. Do you believe what you just read? Why are you digging into the past that your grandfather and whatsoever did? Listen, people doing those things, they are not bad people. They are just not knowledgeable. It's ignorance. Are you listening to me? You see a lot of them. They will tell you they want to dig into your past. Truly, you may have a problem with your past. Something may be disturbing you from your past. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? From your father's side or mother's side or uncle's side, whatsoever. It doesn't matter if you are born again. It doesn't matter. Are you listening to me? The Bible said this, your new birth is not a function of your father's and mother's decision. That's John 1 speaking. He said you are born of the Spirit. You are born of God. He said, little children, you are born of God and have overcome the world from birth. Meaning every challenges you had, you overcame it from birth. The day you became born again, you over, because you don't have the same bloodline. Are you listening to me? But you have the same spirit line with God now. Glory to God forevermore. The day you became born again, they can't see you in that useless sacrifice that happened many years ago. You broke the chain of that sacrifice. Jesus said, forget about who sinned for this man to be born blind. Let the glory of God be revealed. He touched the guy's eye and they were opened. They became open immediately. He didn't try to excavate into issues in the father's side. No, Jesus did not do that. As long as it is Father, it does not matter. As long as you met Jesus, all your problems are solved. The woman with the issue of blood did not try to dig into the past and say, where is it coming from? She said, if I can touch Jesus, not even touch his body, let me touch the cloth he's wearing. Not the cloth itself, the helm, the most ignorable part of the dress. If I can just touch it small, I'll be made whole. When she touched it, Jesus felt the power of God live in him. He said, who touched me? Somebody touched me. Meaning faith is a personal thing. Somebody say amen. Amen. As we're here, somebody is saying, if I dig into the past, I will break my father. Somebody is saying, Lord, just touch me now. Let it be gone. You saying, I'll do 21 days to destroy the altar. You are wasting your time. Somebody in the service is saying, Lord, tonight you are touching me. And all the things that I've been facing and my family are facing, they are gone. You know, yesterday evening, someone met me. We prayed a prayer on Tuesday. I don't know if they shared the testimony. That we called out the case at the end of the service. We said somebody had a cassava farm. Can you remember? The prophetic is crazy. And when we're saying it, sometimes you think we're joking, we're guessing, you know. And I called the case, the kind of farm they had, and I said the person should come out because I saw that they inflicted somebody who went to the farm. And he came out for his mom. The mom had an issue on her right leg, the way I said. And I said, in the name of Jesus, wherever it is coming from, the fire of God is making sure it's dealt with now. And they said, the person that's been troubling them just slept and did not wake up. Now, you see, I didn't kill the person. But angels did. There are some people that are very stubborn. I had a case of a man of God. Somebody said, over my dead body, you will not build this church. The man said, so is it. And he was a military general. He said, over my dead body, you will not build this church. And the man of God said, okay, so is it. And he left the military general. You know, I have friends who are military guys, officers. I sometimes advise them, it's not everybody you try. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? Even though, like, imagine you are not a Christian and you are going to try Babalawo as a military officer. It's not when you are alive you can shoot gun. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? And if you are a Christian, you don't go and try people that you are supposed to respect. God believes in leadership. I was sharing with you people one time in the leadership training. God told Moses to go and take permission from Pharaoh to allow his people go. He did not say, pack my people and start running. Mm-mm. He said, go and meet Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. Look at how God respects even earthly leadership. Even the Pharisees, he was telling the 12, he said, as long as they sit on Moses' seat of leadership, he said, respect them. Are you all listening to me? Hallelujah to Jesus. God respects what? Leadership. Glory to God. And so the person died. Died because they were stubborn. You know why Moses says, spare not the way to live? Because most of them are stubborn. I've seen a few that repented, but most of them are very stubborn. So when you say angels, go and deal with them by fire. Angels know how to deal with them. They know the ones that will not change. They kill the killables and leave the other ones to repent by fire. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, if you observe, I did not call anybody's father's side when I was praying. I just said, in the name of Jesus, let it be dealt by fire. Yes, and that was all. If you know who you are, authority is that simple. Yes, are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Yes, we were sharing a testimony one time. I shared it here. We went to get land. One of my pastors wanted to get 5 plots of land. And he called me to help him just see, look at the place before we get it. And I was worshiping, so I just decided to join him and see it. Since it was one of the first things he wants to do, first major things. And when I got there, as we were shaking the person who claimed, he doesn't even have the place, who claimed to have the place, I felt something strange from the sheikh. So I decided to follow him at the back directly. Unlike me, I would have waited for others to go before I go. And while we're going, we saw the place. And of course, I didn't speak out my suspicion because I really didn't even understand what that meant, really. I just knew something was not right. While we're coming back, he started asking if I was a pastor. You know, and I was wondering why. He said when I shook him, something became wrong with him instead of something becoming right with him. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. How can I shake you and something is wrong with you when something is supposed to be right with you? I was not excited, but I knew what was happening. Imagine you were sick and I shook you and the sickness multiplied instead of healing to come. He said he has never had this kind of situation for many years. But when he shook me, he sweated. So I should pray for him to arrange the thing. I had made up my mind, I'm not going to touch him. But you know what that was? They had this thing that if they talk to you, they shake you, you just be doing whatever they want you to do. So it was a fake piece of land. It was not his own. And Pastor Ed was like the third person or second person they were going to sell that place for. So if, for instance, he succeeded, he was going to be the third person. When you want to go and start anything, they'll come and warn you if you touch that thing. Three people have already bought it. Who are you? Where will you start from? It's just to pack your load and go. When you hear that three people are fighting for land, you're the fourth person that bought. You just smile. Wow, nice one. They really did me something here. Because you don't have a case. Hallelujah to Jesus. So imagine you are not spiritual. When they talk to you, you just fall a victim. You think having money is everything. Getting anointed is everything. Are you listening to me? In fact, the real source of money is the anointing. I was sharing with a friend the other day. I said, you think anybody who is successful so well does not have a spiritual edge? Be there admiring success. He was complaining that he read a book and somebody said something that pained him in the book. What was it? The person said that his wife started from almost nothing to something. He said people should be writing books. Some people should just be reading books. If they don't know what to say, they should just keep quiet. Because the man is so wealthy and he felt like he should read the book. You know, when the man wrote the book that time, everybody was rushing the book. I was just smiling. And the man said his wife started from almost nothing to something. Well, how did she start from nothing? She started from 40 million. That he just borrowed his wife 40 million to start business. And look at his wife today. The guy just threw the book away. And said, that's embarrassing. Sir, if I get 5 million, what is, Kai, I feel bad. I said, take it easy, my brother, take it easy. Sir, can a man tell us that his wife started for almost nothing? What was the nothing? 40 million. He said, does my father and grandfather and everybody, if they shake all our family, there's no 40 million. Come and share 40 million if that's what you mean by success. Hallelujah to Jesus. And the guy told me, he said, see, I from henceforth, I'm not reading any book on success. I will read the Bible. I said, Shebi, we tell you before. For some, they've scammed them, telling them that prosperity does not come from God. God does not make anybody rich. Are you kidding God? You didn't want God? God. God did not make anybody rich in the Bible. Father Abraham was poor. The first man, Adam, was poor. Adam had Eden. He had four sources of income in Eden. You know, the four is a prophetic number for the earth. Establishment of the earth. Meaning God made sure that he had all the resources of the earth for giving him four streams of income. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Four! Four rivers flowing into Eden. Meaning there was nothing that Adam was lacking. Nothing. He was established in prosperity. But he lost it when he didn't eat from the tree of life. When he refused to accept Jesus, to lay hold of Jesus, God said, okay, listen, the reason I want you to have money is because of Jesus. Since you did not eat from the tree of life, leave everything there. But how will Adam come back to the tree of life? A flaming sword and two cherubims, the word of God. He said, he taught him something. When he took Adam out, he killed a lamb and covered Adam with the lamb. Can you remember? Making Adam understand that the day Jesus will come down and be buried, resurrected, if anybody get into Christ, the covering of the lamb, he becomes a new creation and his feet back for Eden. Somebody say amen. I hope you get this now. You are in Eden. It's virtual before it becomes manifest in the physical. It's virtual yet. I say you are in Eden. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Don't doubt yourself. You are not in lack, not a minute. He said, whatever they do prospers. Whatsoever they do prospers. Whatsoever they do. Because in Eden we have four streams of four rivers, and the four prophetic rivers, that simply means God in his entire ability has become the reason why you are establishing prosperity. He's the source of your prosperity. That's what that script, that those four prophetic rivers mean. Because four is a prophetic number for establishment. In fact, four is a prophetic number for the earth. You know how they do prophetic numbers? You see four corners of the earth, four corners of a building. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's how we do prophetic numbers. Don't think they just fell from heaven. We'll look at scriptures and see where numbers were used, all right, prophetically, and say this is what this number stands for. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Glory to God forevermore. Now say I'm in Eden. Now shout it out. Say I'm in Eden. Don't allow your poverty make you to keep quiet. Say I am in Eden. He said, I've not given you the spirit to fear again, but the spirit of sound mind, power, and love. I refuse to fear. I am in Eden. I've got all my needs met. He said, I've given you everything for what? And what? That's where Adam was. He had everything for life and godliness. And now you have it. Because you've received Christ Jesus. And you are a new creation. You are partaking of the tree of life. Whatever you do, prospers. The problem is that many people are not doing anything. Whatever you do, do something. It'll prosper. Do something with this mentality. It'll prosper. You cannot be a lukewarm Christian, no fire, and expecting to prosper. Your father's problem will catch you. But if you are born in, Paul said, quench not the spirit. If you are born in, are you listening to me? And you carry that fire into business. You carry that fire into tech. You burn tech down. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Many Christians are not doing anything and they want something to happen. Many Christians. Even serving God, they can't serve God. But they want business to work. You are full of ingratitude. And some of them, God has shocked them before. He has done something for them. And the reason why they are not serving him now is because of what he did yesterday. And you expect more from him. I want to thank God. Now I'm having plenty of customers. Praise Master Jesus. Now you went back home. Customers, Tuesday service. Hello, Pastor Peter. I can't make it. Customers choke. They choke. I can't make it, sir. What is your problem? Sir, we're in season. Why December, ember month, people are plenty. It's just 2 hours service. Sir, you no go understand. You no go understand, sir. Now you come to meeting, Pastor Peter is like, some of you, we are very serious. They start squeezing their face. Pastor Peter is talking to us. It's you they are talking to. I mean, who are they talking to if it's not you, for goodness sake? It's all of you they are talking to, all of you. And they know themselves. You see them turn and look themselves. Now, who did they talk to? We no send. We no sin. You are joking with God. He won't collect. He will just remove his arm of protection, his wall of fire. What did Job say? He said to God, the devil, he said to God, he said, is it not because you have your wall of fire around Job, that's why he's serving you? We can't touch his properties. We can't touch anything that concerns Job. And that is why he's serving. He's telling God that, God, you know, don't do this Job. Remove all this money and see. And God was like, no, I know my servant Job. He said, okay, go and do everything, but don't touch his life. And he did everything. Of course, Job at some point was doubting, but Job stood strong at the end. And everything he had became double, triple, too much. That should paint a scripture that there's a wall of fire that protects your businesses and your life. Are you listening to me? Don't joke. You think you are too good, that's why you have what you are having today, or you have the customers. Go and look at people who are better than you. It's the hand of the Lord that's upon you, and you are protected because of the wall of fire around you. Now you are not faithful to the one that is protecting you. You are not faithful to the one that has caused you to. His purpose for coming is not that your business should grow. That's not his purpose for coming. It's for souls to be won. Are you listening to me? You are not doing the major. You are expecting glory in the minor. Let's be realistic. You don't take him serious. You don't attend your meetings. You used to attend before. But now you are successful. There is no time. All these ones coming, they don't have work. If they have work, they will understand that government workers don't have this kind of time. They are children. And God is watching. And now, you are trusting God for the next breakthrough. And look at the funniest part. Some of them will now come and sow seed. They will package money and come and sow seed. I'm trusting God for another breakthrough. You know they come to church, you are sowing seed. Keep your seed. Go and buy ice cream. This is hard truth, but it's true.
Yes, sir.
You know, some people, I remember one time a young boy came to my office, very stubborn in the choir at that time. Very stubborn boy. He now came to my office to sow seed. And I said, keep your seed. Be using it to be coming to church early and the rest and be attending choir rehearsals. He was just looking at me, feeling bad I'm rejecting. No! I had already known that he was not serious in his department and he wants to come and sow seed. You are not faithful to your HOD, your leader in your department. You want to come and prove to me you are a good member. Doesn't work that way. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God forevermore.
Praise.
God vets all of this. See, if you read the book of Revelation, your heart will be skipping. Read it well. It's not about eschatology or study of end times. Read what he said in the book of Revelation. I know your works. It was summary he would do. He started mentioning all the works. Number one, you do this. I like it. Number two, it shook them. Everything they were doing has record in heaven. In fact, where hit me one of the times so much in the book of Revelation was where he said to a church, he said, I know your good works. I was like, okay. How you stand against the false teaching of the Nicolaitans? And he wrote everything there. He said, but one thing I have against you. I said, After saying their good works, he said, one thing I have against you. Guess what he said? He said, you have left your first love. I said, hey. People standing against false teaching have left their first love. That is how I knew that you can actually be standing against falsehood. And a man of God preached that thing. I don't agree with it. According to the Bible, you don't even have a prayer life. You are not even meditating at home. Your own ministry now is a ministry of attack. You are Ronaldo. Cristiano Ronaldo of the Christendom. Attacker. And people will be looking at you out there thinking you are doing a good thing. But before God, you are just being foolish. He will tell you, I know your good work, but how plenty it is against you. It will shock you. Somebody who took time to write letter to seven churches. Jesus took time. He sat down. He said, letter to the seven churches. He started writing. Number one. He didn't summarize. He greeted people. He started writing their problems. Started writing their solutions. You are joking with that kind of person. But I said, before him, everything is laid bare. It's open like this. You thinking pastor don't know? God knows. I know why it pains some people sometimes when pastor know they are angry. Somebody told pastor. I've had those cases before. Somebody told me that. So they said something. She said that somebody told you that's why you are preaching about it. I say, hey. Somebody told me. You even joke with spiritual things. Firstly, you called me Prophet Simon. And you are shocked that I'm preaching your case in church. Make it more interesting. And I came around you. I said, for instance. You're like, hey. He didn't even show me sin on me. You know, I was in a wrong relationship the first time I was in BSU. I was in a wrong relationship. And I went for a meeting where nobody knew me. Nobody knew me in the meeting. The man of God doesn't know me. And that relationship was just 1 week old. As I entered the place, the man of God was preaching. And he said something. He said, I don't feel like you people are understanding me. But that young man there, I was sitting like this part. He said, that young man there, I just have this feeling that you know what I'm talking about. Do you understand me? I said, yes, sir. Everybody started looking at me in the church. Who is this young man? I've never met him before. Then he said, for instance, when God begins to do business with men, he will say, thou art Peter, Simon, upon this rock, I'll build my church. He doesn't know my name. Doesn't know me from anywhere. And upon this, I'll build my church. And if God does that, he will begin to bring you into such some level of consecration. For instance, he will tell you, quit that relationship. My whole heart was pumping blood. The blood was too much. I was like, God, if you forgive me this time, I'll never in my life make such a mistake. I was sweating very hard. Lord, just forgive me. Don't do this to me, Lord. Look at everybody. You disgrace me. Look at everybody. Everybody is looking at me. Everybody, God. And the man of God says, so, as he just says so, I just knew he did not know. In my heart, I said, Lord, I have left the relationship. I am leaving. I have left. Oh, I have left. I have left. Holy Spirit, I thank you. It happens. There are times I know when I'm speaking prophetically to people. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? In the preaching. And if you are not told, you become stupid at the end. A pastor that will not tell you the truth does not like you. If I mention this person I want to talk about, you will be surprised. He comes here very well, even for cardboard. One of the times, I remember I called him and I was correcting him. I said, I don't think anybody has corrected you like this before. He said, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. I said, the Bible says, better are the wounds of a friend than the kiss of an enemy. And he was so excited. You know, some people may be mad. What do you mean by that? If I like somebody, I must correct you. Except I don't like you, I'll just leave you to be doing anything. And it's like that for life. If you don't like somebody, all of us, our fathers like us. You all have fathers, isn't it? And there's a way they paid, especially your father. There's a way your father, your mother is the one that is emotional. And for some of you, I think it's a little bit reversed. Not so much reversed. I don't know how to put that thing with mothers. Sometimes mothers just switch one kind of way that we don't understand. They start planning you like coup. You understand what I'm trying to say? Like they are planning coup for the president. They'll be planning your life. Your dad just come back, they'll start shouting. Shebi, I said, make you not do that. Like, which kind of, where did this thing come from? It's just a manifestation that happens with almost every mother. But more importantly, fathers always pay attention to the wrong things. They see that you like TV too much, they'll come and be offering the TV. What are you doing there? So we're watching Z-World. Off that TV and go read. You'll feel like dying. If I see anybody on that TV, I would do, bring that remote here. Don't be mad. Bring the remote. No smile. No one smile. So this man, is he the one that really born me? Is he my real father? He's your father. But he loves you very well. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? You dress up for school party. You wear all the tangerine and the rest. You arrange yourself for the party. Daddy, I'm going for party, school party. Okay, like this. My friend, go and sit down there. You are not going anywhere. Sir, it's our final party. If I slap you, go and sit down. See how you are dressed, stupid girl. Go and sit down there. Remove that cloth from this house. If I bring that cloth here, they burn it. You now be, you just go somewhere and I swear, maybe my father burned me. I swear. He's not the one that burned me. He's not my father. He's not my real father. Let my mother come and tell me who my real father. He hates me. How does he hate you? He told you not to go for a party. Just correction. You know, I had an experience when I was in secondary school. They set money for me to drink one drink. I thought it was good drink. When I drank, finished, they now say I should stay under the sun for the thing to reduce. If not, I'll start behaving. And I stood, you know, JJC. I went and stood under the sun. Then I said, my eyes started rolling. Then I now went and put my head down. One of my friend bought your God for me so much. We read together. He's a Muslim. And when I became normal, I was going home. My mouth was smelling some drink. When I went back home, I saw my father reading in the parlor. As I peeped, I saw him reading. And I went 360 and turned through the back, climbed one step, entered the block. I did not enter inside the room. I just carried buckets straight to the bathroom, bathed, wash my cloth, wash everything. I thought I've done every brush. When I finished everything, he said, how are you? I said, fine, sir. He said, if you like, continue like this, you will die for nothing. I said, how did you know? I said, continue what? He said, you think I did not see you when you came? And I smelt it. Before you took that thing, I have been taking it. I know the smell. I smelt it from the time I knew when you came. I knew when you were betting. But if you want to continue like that, you'll be a very useless young man. You will not go anywhere. Hey! That's the day I knew that this man, a father is always a father. And it was money they set. That's why the discipline of a father, if you have a spiritual father, he's like that too. See, my spiritual father is so harsh. The son of my spiritual daughter. I shouted, and she went down and took the audio and was sharing it. Imagine what a father is telling his daughter. He's telling me that, hey, with no insult, no bastard idiot, shout. What is wrong with you? So look at him shouting for me. Hey, he's shouting for me. It's not painful. People will not say it's painful. Ooh. Wondering. Even Jesus flogged people. What if Jesus is your pastor? Do you know he will flog you? Me, I did not flog anybody. You don't think Jesus is better than me. Of course, he's better than me. But you understand what I'm trying to say? What if I carry cane and flog? I have still not seen. I'm at the same category with Jesus now. Jesus entered a temple. They were selling doves. They were doing bazaar. Sorry, they were selling doves and this and that. And Jesus looked at it. They were saying, go in, go in, go in. He looked at it. He said, in my father's house, my father's house is supposed to be a house of prayer. Is it not a den of thieves? How many of you have attended that thing before? You understand what Jesus meant for a den of thieves? You will see one small goat. You will hear 500,000 going. Have you been there before? 500,000 for 30,000 goats. And it's because of his enemy that is pricing it. If your enemy is pricing, you just double the money. Mama, if your mother the price, she said, wait, 600,000. Mama, if your mother will turn, I will show this girl. 650. And as long as the MC wants the money, is this 50 going? He will not shout God. He's going. You know, 700. 1 million. Some people that is their life saving, they call those. They say, no. Let it go. When Jesus saw it, he didn't say anything. No. He just looked at the 12. Hey. Get me Koboko. I say, got it. Yeah, only Louis, one time I was reading that part of scripture. I said, hey, these Agbero boys, things they are very stubborn. If the spirit of Jesus enters a certain area and dimension, look at one man scatter the whole church. Think about it. How can one man carry and everybody's running? What kind of strength did he have? Who goes you? Who goes you in this place? And they all ran away. He is always good, but not always kind at every point. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? That's our father, sir. If you say Prophet Simon is a kind person, some people will be, he's a lie. But Simon, hey, Prophet Simon never shout for you. You go feel like say you go die. Meanwhile, in some people's book, I'm the most kind person. And don't listen to those people that say you feel like you die. It's because they have bad character. That's why I shouted. As long as your bad character is intact, you will not see that ministry of Prophet Simon. You know, it has to be. The Bible said the man of God will teach you doctrine by the word. What will he do next? Reprove you by the word. Correct you by the word. Instruct you in righteousness. So there's a place for doctrine. And that's not where the ministry of a pastor ends. It must go beyond doctrine to reproof. Hey, come, that is wrong. You don't do that. That's the ministry of a pastor. It goes beyond reproof to what? Correction. If I can't correct you, I'm not your pastor. And you shouldn't get offended. Then instructions in righteousness. I know what God is going to do with your life. And I see you say you are bringing your man for me to see. The person you want to marry. As your pastor, you bring your man and he's anchoring me. I shake him, he now do like this and he now do me like this. He now put his hand like this. Bend my hand, put hand like, now did me like this. I said, which kind of man did you bring here? Which kind of husband did you bring here? You bring Curtis. When the Bible says you marry a man that knows Christ, what would the pastor do? He will save your life at that point. He will say, I'm instructing you now. Quit that relationship. You know, I said a story one time, I shared it to the leaders group, of a woman who was an advocate for purity. She had this, they call it purity movement. I don't believe in all those things, but I just think that if it's done on the strength of the finished work, then it's fine. But you can't pursue purity without the finished work of Jesus. Are we together? Because by strength we can do nothing. Now, she is an advocate for purity. She does it with secondary school. She is talking to ladies, making sure they walk in purity and all that. And this pastor who was married before and has divorced, not divorced, or left the wife somewhere, was just watching her on Facebook and planning her. So the pastor started by sending her a message of appreciation. I appreciate the grace of God in your life. You are a wonderful woman. I appreciate what God is doing. He did not toast her. Every month, I appreciate what God, every week, I appreciate. One time, he sent small seed just to facilitate what you are doing for God. Not for you, for the work of God. A time came, then one time he now brought flower just to show that I'm a good friend. He gave flower. The lady, the man of God would dress like an apostle and come looking, scenting well, you know, perfume. So ladies used to date perfume, not men. And the rest, they just come and, like, oh my God, he's pure. He's a man of God. He loves the Lord. He now believes in my vision. Hey! Not knowing that wife and children are somewhere. At that point, who will help you? God. And if you are confused at that point, then you're covering your spiritual father is the one that can help you. She now started avoiding her spiritual father to see the man. At the point, the man now started inviting her to the house. She was comfortable. Then at that point, every purity scattered. All the purity, whatever. The Lord give you understanding. Misbehaving became back to back. Going to the house, sleeping in the house, sleeping. And the guy at the point started, can we go and see my spiritual father? It will become war. Who is he? I'm an apostle. When the spiritual father found her, he invited her. When he was done talking to her, she busted into tears. And he said, go and bring him and come. She went and fought though he now finally came. When he came, boom, the man just sends a demonic presence. And the man of God told her, this man will kill you. He's not your husband. He is full of the spirit of immorality. She didn't understand what the man of God was saying. Although she has, you know, with what has happened with her, she kind of understands to a measure, but not fully. She feels like the guy is still a good guy. Until the spiritual father did his research for her. They now brought picture. Spiritual father showed that picture with children and the rest. Started crying and confessing. Now she was a strong woman of God. But see what happened to her. If, for instance, she listened to her spiritual father, she would have never been in that trouble. You know why some men, let me tell you categorically, you know, any man you meet and say, can I show you my pastor? And he say, who is your pastor? Is he God? I'm toasting you. I'm saying, listen, run away from the man. They are hypocrites. No matter how they paint it, we are not God and we know we are not God. But do you have a destiny with God as a woman? Do you have a destiny with God as a man? You have. What we are doing here is to culture you to manifest your destiny. And somebody will come and plug you out. Are you listening to me? We don't know your husbands and wife. I don't know who are your husbands and wife. But of course, if I've been pastoring you for years, I should have the privilege to see the person you want to what? Marry as your pastor. If you see them saying, I cannot go, who is he? We know we are nothing. But the reason they don't want to come is because they have something hiding in their cupboard. They know if they come like this, our eye will just jam, will just catch them. The spirit will just manifest, will just know this is from the devil. They know. So I will begin to tell you, if I go, I don't say you no go agree. You know, say I don't be this regular kind of church, but you know, go agree. Your spiritual father go judge me from the outside. And let me say this, let me add this before I conclude. Young women, the way Satan is against you people fulfilling destiny is very serious. You see, when I started ministry, one of the things the Lord helped me, and I liked it, I saw how that through the Bible, I saw how that I can raise women to do the work of the ministry very well. I think it is now some sort of from campus days. I'm one of the person that really put effort in raising women to serve God, becoming pastors and fiery leaders and the rest. But also, even in this ministry, not just outside, I have seen how that Satan fights the destiny of women to becoming manifested. He fights it. When he tries everything possible, and at the point they are getting to 23, 24, 25, 26, he begins to use marriage. Then he will just breathe in your mom's ear. As you come back one evening, your mom will say, go back, go your husband's house. Oh. Go your husband's house, leave my house. You know, like your mom means that. Are you even getting what I'm trying to say? But then once in a while, we don't know why mothers will just start saying those kind of things. No, they share my house with your father. Maybe you get this house. Any small thing, they've reminded you that it's not your house. Go to your house. And that thing now is a seed. Satan will begin to leverage on that. Mommy does not want you here again. Then, if you observe, that's the season you start seeing suitors. Suitors in the flesh. You start considering fine nose over beautiful spirits. Wow. Nose kind of cute. Well, I should not judge. After all, Smith Wiggles' word was changed by his wife. Let me give this a try. And you start doing talking terms. You know how Eve fell? Talking terms with Satan. Talking terms. Don't go close to the place. You are close. He has your number. People are talking. How was it? Can I just have the privilege to see your face? Dear. What's that name they call? People used to call them. Dear. Tall wine. Tall glass of wine. The tall glass of wine. Can I have the privilege to see your glorious heavenly face this morning? Just seeing your face will give me all the peace I've ever needed in my life. They will now call you on video call. Please, before I die, let me see your face and die. You don't know men. You don't know men. Oh, God. As I'm talking, men know what I'm talking about. A lady told my younger sister, the second one following me, those days she was on campus. A guy told her, he said he will die if she does not say yes before tomorrow. He was calling her and crying and saying, I'm just trying to make you understand that if I'll kill myself and if I die, just know that you are the reason for my death. He cried, cried, cried. I ended the call. She now ran to my house. Pastor Simon, the guy said he will die. I'm scared. I don't want someone. Should I just tell him yes? Then when he doesn't die, I will not tell him no later. I said no. I said, I'm going to sleep in your house today. I collected her phone, put him. I wet just in old till she slept off. Then in the morning, I said, call that guy by 10 a.m. She called him. Hello? She said, hey, you have not died. She now ended the call. Nigerian guy kill himself. They know us everywhere in this world. They know us. There's no country that they don't know Nigerian men. Nigerian men kill themselves for what? You see, man, and don't be moved by, you know, some of you is even Nollywood that caused this problem. Nollywood and those movies, those people, Korean movie, gay movies, they are the causal organism of some of your problem. Some of you is Ramsey Noah that started your problems. Ramsey Noah. He will always cry and apologize. You will not think that life is like Nollywood. The boyfriend misbehave, he will not come and cry like, well, you'll be imagining all the things. Ramsey Noah will not come and cry. Then the guy will not come and cry. Baby, I'm sorry. He will just go and learn Ramsey Noah and cry for you. See, I was counseling a lady many years ago. She said the guy has cheated. This is the third time. She has caught him cheating the third time. And I say, don't follow him. And you see, the problem is that the guy who is pastoring her has heard God that that's his wife. But he could not talk. He has been pastoring her after 3 heartbreaks. Imagine you are pastoring your wife and counseling her in a wrong relationship. And he could not say one thing. He was just looking at her. She'll come. He has broken my heart. He will not be encouraging her. You know, don't let your heart not be troubled. Just give it time. Before he knows, she will come back again and say she wants to continue. He'll say, okay, God bless the relationship. 3 times they break your wife's heart. The third time, the boy could not take it. When she was complaining, he just dropped his Bible. He said, see, I don't know how to see this, but I'm tired. I've been keeping this. I'm going to tell you, I had a vision. You are my wife. And please, don't go back to that boy. I have seen it 3 times. Yeah, and the girl was confused now. So she need another counselor. Because this counselor now is too thin. I did not employ my service. So when I heard the whole story, I asked her a sincere question. I said, how many times has this guy broken your heart? She said, 3 times. I'm for always for the man of God. Do you understand? Man of God for men of God. I said, this guy has broken your heart many times? 3 times. I said, what of this guy? She said, ah, Pastor, don't even go with this guy. He's not romantic at all. He's just a pastor. He's giving me church vibe, church vibe. I can't even imagine myself with that one. I said, what of the other one? He said, hey, Pastor, he's so romantic. Hey, he's a sweet man. I said, yeah. Sir, he's a very wonderful person. I said, that's where the problem is. I said, you see, us men of God, we don't know how to do these things. We're growing in the cave of Adullam. And one day God just said, go and... How did I ask my wife out? Very wonderful. Called her for counseling meeting. I told her I want to start a new department and I want her to facilitate the department. That was all lies. Because I did not know what to talk. I was just talking anything that came to my mind. I was so scared. I was so scared. It was my first time. At a point, when she was taking the coke, I just took coke. Coke now influenced me. And I said, okay. I think you are my wife. She said, ah, Pastor Simon, are you joking? I said, yeah, I'm actually joking. I didn't know how to say. At the end of everything, I said, I think I'm not joking. Go and think about it. She said, I will think. She was laughing because she did not even know that the thing was serious. It was later in the night, they say she was crying in the hostel. Because the thing now dawned on her. She started crying. Ah! Ah! Well, Prophet Simon said, love me. Oh. I mean, not exactly like that. But something around that. Not exactly like this. But she cried. That one is there. She cried. Yes, close to that. Pastor Peter should remember. Yeah, she was crying. So why are you crying? Say, ah, the blessing of a billion generation. My God. And hallelujah to Jesus. And where was I? Hallelujah to Jesus. Ladies, be very careful. I have seen ladies walk out from my house like my hand like tarwada in this church. You know tarwada? That fish that is so silky to just spin you, pew, you just move away in church. And I stood as an interface to stop it. Why did I stand against it? They are church members. It doesn't mean that because you are church members, you are meant for each other. They had been liking themselves all this while. They now lie that God said they are the ones for each other. So I now entered the middle. I said, this thing will go work for this church. So she didn't got offended with me. She stopped coming to church. So one day I visited her. As I came, she gave me a chair. I sat down. She said, sir, I know why you came. I said, yeah. I said, sir, why do you hate me? I said, I don't hate you. Straight to the point. Business talk. No. Why do you hate me, sir? Sir, I've been serving in this church for years, but you don't want to allow me to marry you. You will not allow another girl that is just come. I said, no, my daughter, it's not like that. You are not meant for each other. I finished advising her. I thought she would hear. Before you know, the next person that came to look for her hand in marriage, she just accepted. As a way to make it pain us. She just accepted. I called her. I said, this thing you are doing is yourself you are doing. She said, I found it. We have even met our parents. There's nothing to do about it. I said, okay. Came to my house, gave me wine, gave me money. I drank wine. Do you understand? I drank wine. I collected the money. I think I bought plenty meats and some things that day. I still told them, you are not meant for each other. Sha. At least what you have given me is for the training I've been training you. It's not still enough. But you are not meant for each other. You want me to lie that I rejected it? She will hear if she was watching the sermon. I did not reject it. She knows. But I told them, you are not meant for each other. They went ahead. One day I was praying, I told my wife, I said, I regret not standing my ground for that lady. It came to me so strong that something is not right with her. Many ladies, there's a time one of our ladies here married somebody, at the end they discovered the person is a smoker. Strong lady, strong leader in church. The person pretended came as a saint, only for her to discover later on that's a smoker. She married. Are you all listening to me? You have to be careful. You are burning and shouting, we will take the world with the fire of God. There's a fire burning inside of me. Blah, 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 blah. Satan is looking at you. Eh? Then he brings a man that will give you your dream wedding over Oche. Not like Oche cannot give you your dream wedding. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But not at the status quo. Oche is toasting Precious like this. As he's toasting Precious, then the man just pass and wave Precious. And Precious is smiling. Oche is thinking his flows is going. He didn't know that it's somebody that passed in the car. He has beards. He's beard gang. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He is fine looking. He now has money. He wore kaftan the first day people met. Kaftan. It was touched. That's how Satan behaves. Some of you now will go and do connection marriage. You know that connection marriage? And there's somebody in Dubai that will call you. Eh? Tisom, there's somebody in Dubai that will call you. If he call you, behave well, oh. Behave well. He's coming to save our generation. Don't call her. Hello? Young lady, what is your name? Please, can you speak Queen's English? Which one is Queen's English? Do you want Queen's English or money? Which one do you want? What do you say, star? I am an exporter of star. Importer, exporter, biggest star company in Aba. Anywhere star is in the country, I supply. Your life will be full with stars. And some won't mind being third wife. Third wife. How they cheapen themselves. Say, I'm not cheap in the name of Jesus. Shout it out. Say, I'm not cheap in the name of Jesus. And we're not saying this to comfort young men in poverty. Say, I can never be poor. Young men, shout it out. Say, I can never be poor. You all marry gloriously. I told you this year is your year of flight. Don't be allowing people to come and marry your wives. Are you listening to me, young men? Brace up. If you're always calling your elder sister and mother for 2K, stop it now. And some of them will be doing that and be toasting a lady. You are calling your elder sister for 2,000 and toasting a lady. What is wrong with you? The 2K they managed to give you, you want to share it 1K, 1K? I remember one of my pastors came to me and said, I want to marry. I said, leave your father's house. Go and rent a place. First thing first. Go and rent a place. Live alone for a while. Let me observe you. If you survive alone, you survive with a woman. When you're in the house, you just come back. Where's my food? Where's my food? Go and cook your food. Go. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If not, you marry that kind of man, you cook for him, you be the one to be working, you be the one to be taking care of the children, you just be sitting the way he was sitting in his father's house. You first teach him how to be responsible. There was one time I was teaching, I said, if you are here as a young man, your dream is PS5, you are so crazy. He said, what do you want? He said, PS5. No. But he said, what do you want? He said, Lance.
Yes, sir.
When you were a child, probably wanted PS5. But now, some people are looking at me, is it PS5? Pastor, you didn't want PS5. And no, let me add this little word inside for the last paragraph of the message and I close. I've not hit the main thing. It's about Gideon. I will soon eat it. Give me Titi. Titi, come. How old are you? 20. Come fast and tell me your age. All those age people are hiding. I don't even know why you're hiding it. The law. Rabagush. What's that your age again? 26. Ah, you have one like this. You can marry now. That's very, very wonderful. My in-law can marry. Who is 26? What month?
November.
Ah, you are far. Who is 26 December? Who will be 26 in December? Are you going to be 26 or you are 26? You'll be 27 in November. Wow. Impressive. Please try and marry after law school. Eh? Yes. Hallelujah to Jesus. You have finished law school? Eh? Marry. All right. All right. Who is 26? Any lady that is 26? If you are 26, come. Come, please. I want you to come if you are 26. Don't feel anything now. Why are you people? At least let the man know. People that want to toast you should know your age now. You take stand, you'll know your age. Come forward, please. Come forward. 26, come forward. Come forward. Come forward. Yes, please. Just stand here. Two of you. Tite now. 26, okay, you can come there. I've been explaining this thing for years. The rest of you that don't want to come out, even if you're 26, some people will not know now. Now, some people will know. People, they will go for. You don't know how God does things. As I'm talking now, one man is like, hey, I don't see him now. I don't see him. I don't see him. Okay. All right, now, look at me. This man is 26, but he doesn't even look like 26. I'm just getting to know he's 26. I used to think he's 23. And Tite is 26. He'll be 27 this year. But most of you ladies, if Tite say he wants to marry you, you'll be laughing. Imagine Tite looks at a lady and say, can I want to marry you. Like, Tite say, why marry me? Oh! They will start laughing. You know why they are laughing? They know Tite in church. In their heart, it's so young. You look at a lady, look at you. How many of you were there as young men? Your mate, a lady who's your mate, you are all 19. She'll be calling you small boy. How many of you have been there? Like your mate or you senior by month. Then she'll say, you see this small boy. And you'll be feeling some kind of pain. You can't explain the pain. But actually, you were acting too small. At 19, they were toasting her. All those brothers that have finished NYC camp will come back home and sit down somewhere. I'm saying, and they'll be toasting them. Yes, I know what I'm saying. You are carrying short nigger to play football in Kololai. When they are toasting your mate, are you even getting all dressed? At the time now, you don't grow up, start wearing NIC. You too, you start calling sports. That's the wrong thing that I've seen for many years. That, you know, ladies are more plaintier than men. And ladies suffer this more. Because most ladies have made up their mind. I'm sure right now they are changing the narrative. They say, if he's not 10 years older than me, what? A decade older? So God created your husband after 10 years when he created you. Let's look at it. If it's not 5 years, if it's not at least 20 years. I think recently they started saying if it's by a second. If a man senior you by second, somebody say second. He can marry you. The problem with most young men is that they are not thinking mature. They are not thinking mature. Thank God he is thinking mature. But I can bet you there's somebody who is 26 that his dream is to buy PS4 next week. He's saving for PS4. Game. So that he'll stand on his. As I'm talking to you, there are young men who are not in church. They are in visual house. Looking at whether they will score in Nigerian League. He is called God. No. That's what they are doing. Niger bet. You know, I have an idea. Niger bet is the beginning of failure for every young man. Betting is the beginning of failure. I know some of you are hiding and doing it. It's the beginning of failure. If you observe, say, I cannot give my offering, I cannot give my tithe. You have been giving your tithe and offering to Niger bet. Where is the proof? The Bible says, if you sow, you will reap in God. You have been sowing to Niger bet. Come and reap, let's see now. And most of you are saying, if I don't reap, I will not stop. That's what Niger bet like. They like people that will threaten them and tell them, if I don't withdraw all my money where I don't put, I'm not going to stop. That's the kind of customers they like. You can predict football. You really can predict football. You can't predict football. When I saw that thing, I told my friends many years ago, I said, who can predict football? Who can really predict football? You watch a game like this and say, I know it will end. You can never. Look at what Mourinho did recently. How can you predict what Mourinho did? How can we be playing football? He wants to make sure that these guys, the goal difference proofs, you know, help, you know, they win, they qualify some people or themselves by goal difference. They are winning 3-1. right? Is it 3-1 or 2-1? He told the goalkeeper, come out. Which coach in his right senses would tell goalkeeper, come out? It's not corner kick. It's free kick. He said, come out. Naturally, in football, we'll think you're a mad coach. Because if they get that ball, they'll go and score you. We don't know what came into that man that day. He said, come out. The keeper came out. When they played the ball, keeper scored. Okay, how would you have predicted that a keeper will score in the match? You can't predict him. It's the beginning of failure for many people. A funny joke, I was in the field one day and I saw one of these guys that play football with my jotter. When I opened the jotter, it was cursed. They were writing inside. They were predicting matches. Like he would play a match and write the outcome, the Niger bet number and everything there. And I held it. I said, my jotter, Niger bet. I called the guy when he came. I said, you will never, have you been losing? He said, yes. I said, that's why you'll be losing. See who is on the face. If it's by me, you will never win. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So that's the point. Tite now, if he's thinking mature, he can marry any of these girls. If he's thinking mature. And I believe this is God's will. Because you see ladies, and you see some ladies, they'll say, ah no, the way man they grow, maybe like say woman they grow. Woman they grow big. Listen, Jim, which one is woman they grow big? What kind of fatness is that? You are 23, you can't enter the door again. What is wrong with you? Between road walk. If they talk now, they'll say they are body shaming them. It's not body shaming. How can you be 23, you cannot enter your door again? You sit on your bed, this thing will break. Years ago, my spiritual father told me a story. A lady came to him and said she was not getting married. He looked at her up there and said, oh, I see. Lubregatashia pakatosh. Thus says the Lord, from henceforth, don't be dressing like this. For as you dress, you look like an old woman. Now, thus says the Lord, start dressing like a young woman. Libro shikapa. Amen. When he was done, the woman said, yes, sir. She went and changed all her clothes. She stopped tying wrapper. At that age, you are tying wrapper, all those things. Like Zumuntamata. She now changed her dressing and started dressing like a young lady. In 3 months, she found a man that wants to marry her. She now came for testimony. He was not just seeing us nothing. He said, God did not tell him anything. Wisdom taught him that. He said, when he saw the lady, he said, will I marry this woman? He now said, no. Then he now changed everything, even told her, thus says the Lord, start doing your hair, for your hair looks rough. He explained to the lady. You know, there are some ladies that are like, take the world and give me Jesus. If you see them, take the world. You better take the world. Take the world. Oh, leave me at the altar with my father. You know, they just want to portray this holiness thing too much. Even the way they pray now is like this. Apokotea kopa, apokoto. How can a lady be praying like a man? If you observe the same prayer warriors with them, don't used to marry them. But that Johnson, that is the prayer warrior leader, he will be looking at, he's looking at Sister Rebecca. Robot Sister Rebecca is, Brother Johnson, thus says the Lord. Lepokoto. Brother Johnson will go and carry a big ear from outside that works like this. You see? He wants a woman, not a fellow. You understand what I'm trying to say? Watch those brothers. They used to do those things. As a woman, don't consciously arrange your back to be okay. No matter how you pray. If you find that prayer is giving you a posture like this, don't like it to look back. Change it back. Don't ever, those brothers will not marry. Prayer warriors will not marry you. I'm telling you, because I'm a prayer warrior too. We will not. We love women. Not men, women like men. Or semi-women. And when they talk to you, it's your thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord. You are my husband. God has never and will never tell any woman that a man is a husband. And if you are claiming he has done it first in your head, keep your mouth shut. Let the man come and tell you. Any man, no matter how sensible he is, the day you tell him you like him, his sense have gone. Any man. They'll behave like in school. Just give them 2 years. They'll start reminding you, after all, you are the one that came and met me. I'm telling you the truth. Never make that mistake. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Walk, do, as a woman, you must have dignity. That's your badge. Self-esteem. Carry yourself so high. I told you about a lady in my secondary school. All the boys were scared of her. You'll be singing like this. You'll be talking stupid things. You just pass. You just keep quiet. She was so righteous. Eh? So righteous that even birds of the air know she's righteous. Nothing concerned that lady with anything. She was that mature. And all of us, if they beg us to go and toast that lady, we'll never toast her. We just felt like we don't deserve her, even small. She doesn't do expo. Those days, some of us used to do expo small. She does not do expo. She does not want even jokes. You just see her. She just focus with her eyeglass. Concentrating on her book, on the teacher. When you're making, stop that. There's a teacher in the class. Then she will now smile. Stop that. You are quarreling with your friends. You go, Simon. Why are you quarreling like this? Stop that. You almost say yes, ma'am. I'm telling you the truth. Because of the way she carried herself. And she was not our senior, but she was so mature. Learn to carry yourself. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Even though nobody is ugly, what I'm trying to say is that even though people think you are ugly, when you carry yourself well, you'll be so shocked. You know, men like things that they cannot explore. It's not easily accessible. When any small thing, you just smile, shine your 32 teeth, they'll be like, that get cheap. I'm telling you the truth. But if you say, hey, Rebecca, like, how are you? Fine. God bless you. Kai, if I forget this, Rebecca, don't wrestle. This girl, she's just so special. I'm telling you, that's how men think. When they say, hi, Ngozi, say, hey, my dear, how are you? Ngozi have share hug for like 5 people. She said, this girl, they share hug everywhere. Are you all getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Are you understanding me? Young men, are you hearing?
Yes,
start thinking maturely. Maturely. That's why I told you people, at 26, 27, which is the right age now, I'll facilitate his marriage. Get married.
Yes,
I promise to give, if he wants to marry now, if he say he wants to marry now, I'll give you 500,000. Come and marry. But if you don't marry this year, and next year, I will not give you again. If you want to marry this year, I'll give you 500,000. But if you don't marry this year, you're on your own. That means 500,000 can pay your bride price. You understand what I'm trying to say? Not their mama's family's own. Do you all get what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
You can be seated. So you all know you can. You have seen our ladies now, so you know what to do. If you like, be dull. I want to end now. What's the time? 10:25. 11? 11:17. Okay, 20 minutes more. Because we'll end by 11:30. When it's time, just shout, it's time, sir. Finally, what the Lord put in my heart so strongly, I want to end with is about Gideon. The call of Gideon. I was listening to the scripture while I was even driving again because I enjoyed it last night. And I was becoming more emotional as I read the scripture. In Gideon 6, remember the Midianites, they subjected Israel. Are we together? And the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. Hallelujah to Jesus. He was in the farm and the angel appeared to him. And one thing that Gideon said that struck my heart was that he was the least of his family and his tribe was the weakest in Israel. He was the least of his family and his tribe was what? The weakest. He said, God, I'm the least of my family and my tribe is the weakest. Let me tell you why I'm saying this thing. My sister called me one time in the middle of the night. And I picked the call. She is prophetic. Even though she has not fully realized that. She sees everything before it happens. My immediate younger sister. The day I told you that I saw something struck my dad, she saw it literally as I was seeing it, she was seeing it. She saw it in a vision, I saw it literally. So she called me and said, Simon, sir, I saw that they struck daddy with stroke. And just before she called me, I was in a trance. And I saw a demonic activity in the family. So I was already awake when I called. So I just speak immediately. I was there in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. His name of, she doesn't really like to pray. But when their situation, you see, I shout in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And I said, I've heard you. So she said, well, she wants us to join hands and pray. Because she so much believes her vision because it always comes to pass. Are we together? So I started thinking about people that have lost their loved ones. I don't know if you have lost loved ones before. And you were sure it was demonic oppression. And things like that. Listen, let me ask you this question. What if you were strong with the Lord at that time? A young man told me a story. He's a young pastor. He said, sir, the day my consecration was altered by the enemy, that was the day my father died. It was in my office. He said, I knew the demonic activity around my home, so I had always been praying. But this particular day, there was this lady disturbing my life, and I finally fell in prayer to the devil through her. And when that happened, they were in a relationship anyways, and she was always disturbing him to have her way with him and etc. And it happened. And he said, he woke up the next day to hear that his father died. He couldn't forgive himself. He didn't know what to say. He couldn't take the story and say, listen, no, it's me that he did not kill his father. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? But because he broke the edge, the serpent what? Struck. There are hacks to these things, but I'll teach you straightforward. Now, when he was telling me, he was crying. And I said, how? Let's imagine the number of people that would have lost their loved ones because they were not in alignment with the Holy Spirit. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? A pastor called me one time. He said, Pastor, sir, I feel so disappointed in myself. I said, why? He said, I lost one of my members to demonic oppression. I saw it. I did not pray. I said, why? He said, because I'm struggling with something. I said, ah. He said, yes. And I couldn't pray that time. I saw it. And now the guy is dead. I'll have to conduct the burial. I feel like I killed the guy. And he started crying on the phone. That's like second or third example of what I'm trying to talk about right now. And I said to myself, indeed, you know, God said, I sought for a man that would stand in the gap. Stand in the gap. Stand in the gap. So that the destruction will not be allowed to happen. If you read that particular scripture in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, it paints a picture like God is the one destroying. No, if God doesn't destroy today, he never destroyed yesterday. In the original in Hebrew, I know some of you are wondering if I'm trying to cover for God. You know, one time I was teaching somebody, say, Pastor, you like to cover for God. God destroyed. I said, no, it's not God. If God does not destroy today, if he's not destroying today, he didn't destroy yesterday. You know, some people used to say God used to be wicked in the Old Testament. No, God was never wicked in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, angels acted in the stead of God. They were in charge of humanity, not God. That's why in Galatians 3, the Bible says laws that were given by what? Angels. And angels cannot have mercy on whom they want to have mercy. They just follow the terms and conditions. You act righteously, you are blessed. You act wrongly, they what? They strike. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Amen?
Amen?
So God has never been the one destroying. Hallelujah to Jesus. So he said, I sought for a man that will stand the gap so that the destruction that is supposed to come to these people will not come to them. And he found none. I sought for one man. Abraham said, what if you find, at the end, he said, what if you find one righteous man? He said, I will not allow the city to be destroyed. One. One righteous man. One. And I said to myself, what if there's a righteous man in that family? Do you think wrong things will be happening in that family? What if you are that righteous man? Imagine yourself as the righteousness of God in your family. Do you think wrong destructions will happen in that family? You can stop a lot of rubbish from happening. I tell you, it works. A billion times it works. Are you listening to me? Gideon said, I'm the least. That means sometimes you may not even feel qualified. He said, my tribe is the weakest, and I'm the least of this weakest tribe. But God still said, I've chosen you. You know, the first thing God told him blew my heart. The angel of the Lord said, thou brave, mighty warrior, Gideon. Brave. And Gideon was shocked. Thou mighty man of valor. He was shocked. They called him a mighty man. He said he was the weakest. If God wants you to explore something glorious, the first thing he would tell you is that you are my righteousness. You wouldn't believe it yet. As I am, so are you. Why? He's trying to call you to a higher, a pedestal of identity. Not like bringing you to something that is not you from the beginning. This is actually your supposed strength from the beginning. In Colossians 3:3, in the Amplified Version, the Bible says, the real you is revealed in Christ. The real you. From the beginning, the real you cannot sin. The real you cannot lie. The real you cannot fornicate. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? What you are seeing today that is misbehaving is a counterfeit of your identity. It's not the real you. My Smurra of blessed memory said the greatest crisis on the earth is not anyone who has seen today. Not the threat US is doing with Iran today. Or Israel with Palestine. He said that's not the greatest crisis. He said the greatest crisis on the earth today is identity crisis. Many people don't know who they are. So they are acting in accordance with a wrong identity about themselves that Satan gave them. God told Adam. He said, Adam, who told you you were naked? When Adam misbehaved, Satan lied to him about his identity. For every time we sin and we are feeling guilty, it is Satan lying about our identity to us. You are not an adulterer. You are not a fornicator. Yes, you did it, but that's not you. You are bigger than that. Are you listening to me? So right now, dust your face, dust yourself and wake up and call yourself the righteousness of God. For Gideon to be able to explore God's power, God's glory, he was not called a weak man, even though God knew he was the weakest of his clan. But God knew more importantly that he did not create a weak being. He said, thou mighty man of valor. For somebody seeing himself as the weakest of the weakest clan. So if God wants to do business with you, the first thing he will alter is the wrong identity about yourself. You are not a weak person. Tell somebody, I deserve the whole world. I deserve the best. That's the first thing he will do. If you want to be successful, if you want to be rich, if you are seeing yourself as a failure, no matter how you work hard, you will not be rich. You are not a poor man trying to be rich. You are a rich man excavating his riches and bringing them in manifestation upon the face of the earth. Like I said, you are in Eden. It is virtual yet. But it will become manifest soon if you stay with the word enough. Let the book of the law not depart from your heart and your mouth. Meditate upon it day and night. And you, not God, you will cause your path to be what? And you shall have what? Don't joke with prayers. You wake up in the morning in the name of Jesus. My day is blessed. I am successful. I can't fail. Whatever I put my hand on, it works. In the name of Jesus, my mind is blessed. My mind is alert. When I read, I understand in the name of Jesus. You know, there are people that say that it takes 8 hours for me to understand. You have destroyed yourself. God did not create you like that. That was a discovery about the altered state of your identity. The fallen man. They really have a sound mind. Say, my mind is sound. In the name of Jesus. And sometimes fear begins to gush into your heart when you begin to give into the lies of the enemy. He said, I've not given you the spirit to fear again. Meaning, throw away, cast down every thought or imagination. He will paint pictures of failures. Your mother is sick. You will start seeing pictures that your mother is being buried. No, your mother will not be buried. He will put it so that when you give into that fear, then it will happen. You know what Job said? He said, what I fear has come upon me. Maybe Satan got to Job because Job was scared. Some of the rituals Job would do in the tabernacle, his children would go to party, would go and kill a lamb, blah blah blah. He was actually giving into the thought of Satan. That's why Satan had the impetus to say, see, it's because you are protecting this guy. From the signals I'm seeing, I can get him. What I fear, he said, has come upon me. The Bible also said in the book of Proverbs, it said, for fear is a snare. Meaning, when you fear, you are captured immediately. Because fear is faith in the opposite direction. It doesn't matter where you are coming from. Look at Gideon, for instance. The weakest of the weakest clan. God did not say, hey, thou weak man. He said, oh, thou mighty man of valor. He first turned around to see who they are calling. It was him. What God has said about you is greater than what you are experiencing today. The Bible did not say, as a man is experiencing today, so is he. The Bible did not say, as a man comes from Otukpo, Okpoga, Makodi, Konshisha, so is he. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, meaning anything around you cannot affect you. It is what is in you that can affect you. You're not a function of any thoughts or ideology that you got as a resultant effect of where you stayed, the school you went to, or the things that have happened to you. You are a resultant effect of the word of God in your soul, in your spirit. If you start thinking the world, your life will change. Dear beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You begin to think God's word. No, I can never be benet. I'm above only, never benet. This business is working. See, before you start the business, you are sure it will work. You just started a tailoring business. Who told you to not work? See, it will work more than anything around there. And if there's anybody thinking like you, it will be in the same level. Do you understand what I just said? That is why you are consistent. Why is that lady working hard even though customers are not coming? She knows that whatever she put her hand on is blessed. Whatsoever you do shall prosper. Lord, I'm doing something. How dare it not prosper? So that when angels come to bless you, they will know that you are a child of God. Some of you angels have come around you and the things you are saying have pursued them. God told them, go. Donald is about to enter into the billions. And they come to Donald and Donald is complaining. Things are not working for me. And they are wondering, no. I think we're in the wrong address. Have you read that book called Angels on Assignment? Yes, that angels go in the direction of the word. Yes, they go in the direction of the word. Not because we are big, but because we have the word of God on our inside. You know, the Lord told me something this morning to even correct some of this ideology. He said, Simon, who are you? I said, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, because I understand all those questions. He said, now trust yourself as my righteousness to do great things. I said, what does that mean? He said, listen to what Paul said. I can do all things. He didn't say God can, even though God can. But because of who God has made him to become now, he is like God. He now boasted about his strength. Now, boasting about his strength is not actually boasting about his strength independent of God. Because his new strength is the ability of God. So he said, I can do all things. Glorifying God, though, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I trust my ability. Now, because my ability is that of God's, I can't sin. Now, it's not pride. I can't sin. I refuse to walk in sin. I refuse to walk in failure. No, I can't fail in my life. In the name of Jesus, I've been bought with a price. I'm God's own special purchased possession. I'm born again. I'm born of the Spirit. I do not walk after the desires of the flesh. In the name of... You see, who boasts like that? You are not speaking out of pride. You are speaking out of substance. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm speaking from faith, substance. What is the substance? The word. The word is my soul. I'm not just being pessimistic or optimistic. Sorry. Optimistic. I'm speaking as a consequence of the word of God in my spirit. No, I can't fail. No, I can't fail. No, I can't fail. In the name of Jesus. I can't feel. In the name of Jesus. I will never be subjected. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. I'm above only. In the name of Jesus. I can never lose. In the name of Jesus. And even though it seems like I'm losing, it is strategy. It is strategy. Now, some of you need to start plugging into certain skills. It's high time you leave that place you have been serving. Now that you have served for 4 years, I just spoke to somebody now, 4 years. The Lord is saying it's time to get a skill and get into the next height of your prosperity. Thus says the Lord, for 130 is enough. I want you to get into the realm of millions. I want you to get into the realm of millions. Now, be plugged into a skill. Learn a skill. Learn a skill. Learn a skill. You know, somebody met me and said, I want to work in a certain place. I said, you will not work there. Go and learn a skill. It's not about money yet. That early gratification. Go learn a skill. Learn a skill. You begin to work in the millions. These 3 months you are going to waste working here. Take it to learn a skill. I'm not saying it's for everybody, but for some of you, you will sense it in your spirit. If God wants you to enter into another level, you'll just be unsatisfied. You will not be satisfied again. Have you been there before? You just be feeling like, no, I'm bigger than this level. At that point, you don't just, it is called, you know, I taught it here before. I called it the cry of the soul. Is it the cry of the spirit? Can you remember? The call of the soul, the cry of the spirit. Your soul, you are feeling this hunger, this dissatisfaction. This is not where I ought to be. That's the call of the soul. God is calling you to deeper realms of glory and success. Higher realm of glory and success. Then from that point, you don't stop there and you are pondering. Else it will become a weight in your soul. You just be thinking out of nothing. You go beyond the call of the soul to the cry of the spirit. Now in the night you begin to pray. In the day you begin to pray. You lock up yourself in the name of Jesus. Lord, my level is changing now. I'm seeing the strategy for the next level. In the book of Isaiah, it says, strengthen your cords. Elongate your cord. Strengthen them. Because what I'm about to do, you have never seen before. So Lord, if we are really ready for the next level, we'll get ourselves more capacitated. If there was no man to manage the earth, the Bible said there was no rain. In other words, God will not cause down success because you cry that you want to be successful. He needs a man that has the managing ability yet. If you have the managing ability, then you are capacitated for the next level of success. He does not waste resources. Remember, he asked for the 12 baskets. He said they should not be wasted. Are you listening to me? Can you manage this next level of success? Meanwhile, he has said, he that is faithful in little is the one that is faithful in plenty. What are you doing right now at this level? What are you doing right now at this level? He said, whatever you do prospers. Lord, in the name of Jesus. You make research. This call of the soul will make you sometimes, beyond prayer, you are online. What is the new kind of dresses people wear as a tailor? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? What are the recent discoveries in media, in programming? What are the current trends in computer science? In 400 level years ago, we did a topic called current trends in computer science. What are the current trends? What are the things people are doing? If great people are doing it, you think they are great people, you are also great. You can start it. Don't allow where you are limit you. In the name of Jesus, I'm starting this. Say, but I don't have all the money. Do you have a laptop yet? What does it take to start at the first level? God will meet you in your walk of faith. I don't know that you caught what I just said. As you are walking, you will meet the help of God. He told Abraham, just be going. You will see the sacrifice. Abraham was going and suddenly he saw the sacrifice. Abraham had faith. He moved. He saw the sacrifice afterwards. Jesus told them, fetch the water and serve the other people. They fetched the water. It was not wine yet when they fetched the water. When we were going to serve the people, we were doing a study with my pastor friend. When they fetched that water, it was still water. It was as they were going in their obedience to serve the people that it became wine. David wanted to kill Goliath. He did not carry anything from his. He was just coming. Just coming. Because if it has to be God, it has to be God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He said, I'll pluck your head. So why are you saying those big things? Where is your help going to come from? My help coming from the Lord. Who made heaven and the earth? He said, I'm going to pluck your head, Goliath. Shift. He said, oh, those are your boys. I'll pluck all of their head. David, while he was saying that, the only thing he had was catapult. No cutlass. Can catapult cut head? Guess where the cutlass came from? From the hand of Goliath. When he killed Goliath, are you people getting what I'm trying to say? See, what you need for the next phase of glory is in this current mountain standing before you. If you can face it, the cutlass will come out from there. Do you get what I just said? Face your fears. Don't be scared. You see, you've been addicted for 12 years. And later you think about the addiction, you are crying. Listen, face your fears. In the name of Jesus, it doesn't matter whether it's 12 years. In the name of Jesus, today I come out of it and I'm ready to go get out of this rubbish. If you don't make up your mind, you will never leave it. I told the pastor many years ago. I said, they don't leave addiction by wish or by tears. You make up your mind to leave it. You tell yourself this thing, it will not see the end of me. I will see the end of it. Then you don't just be optimistic. You speak the word of God. Look at what God has said about your life. In the name of Jesus. I'm above. He's a pastor today. I give God the praise. He's doing so well. Years ago, he came to me. And when they asked him, when he came to me and I started counseling him, he was wondering. I said, ease yourself. Be free. You know, those stones you are throwing is not the reason you're going to live this life. You got to understand who you are in Christ. Look at what God told Gideon before we close. Gideon took many soldiers to go and fight the Midianites. And when he climbed the mountain, God now told him, these soldiers are too much for me. If you do like this, Israel will take the glory. They'll say, I'm not involved. He said, tell them now that anybody, it was by force, he forced them to come home. Is there anybody that cannot fight and is scared should go back to his house? Many thousands went back. He said, these ones too are too plenty. Midianites are like, according to the story, they were like a loaf of bread. If you throw them, the 300, the ones that were there before this thing, they were like a loaf of bread, according to the way Bible puts it. I miss the Midianites. God still said they were too much. He said the second one, take them to the river, do this, that, reduce the number. They reduce it, remain 300. He said, okay, I think I can manage 300. I can manage 300. He said, he now told him, now go, Gideon, for I have given the Midianite into your hand. Go at once. Look at all. You are just with small soldiers. I have given them into your hand. He told Joshua, in Joshua 6, I remember I shared it here. He said, go, I have given Jericho into your hand. What did he give Joshua as the arsonist to take over Jericho? No soldiers. Oh. This one, he used 300 soldiers. You know what I'm trying to, the picture I'm trying to paint is that God wants to do it in a way that you and him and everybody will know is him. Don't see how is this, how did she build the house from this business? The hand of the Lord was upon her. The hand of the Lord. You know, one time I and my friend were talking about a woman that used to sell akara in Kaduna where we grew. This woman has built house and trained all her children. So one time we're talking and we're telling ourselves, she always say, I thought we are just managing. You see, anytime she says, we are just managing. When we found out she has trained all her children to university level, she has a house. If you see the house, she will still come there and be frying a car. My friend answer is a lie. If there is no money in this thing, why is she doing it? When somebody followed her one day and spoke to her, she makes thousands in a day. In that spot, only her is there. And more importantly, the hand of the Lord is upon her. She's a prayer warrior. Are you listening to me? He told Isaac, there's farmer. Isaac said, Lord, there's farmer in the land. He said, so. What was the so? Not money there. He said, sow your seed. Do irrigation system, artificial system of farming. Pour water on the ground, till the ground, put seed. He said, sir, there is no water. Till it. So, in that same year, the Bible said, Isaac. You know, when God speaks, it's as if you are... The first thing God told Gideon, he said, go and carry your father's God. Break the firewood. Use it to offer sacrifice to me. Did you see that part of scripture? He went in the night with 10 men because he was scared. He broke Baal. Baal was crafted in firewood. He broke Baal, carried the firewood of Baal, offer sacrifice to God. You know, when God picks you, you become trouble to your family first. Small trouble will start. You will not say, I don't want to pray that kind of prayer. Those days in the house, I told my father I will not pray a certain prayer. It was not a small thing. It was Timmy that laid hands on his head. The day a demon came to hit him. They hit him. I was the one that laid hands on his head. That thing stopped. But that before that time, he used to warn me. And I would tell him I would not pray that prayer. What was the prayer? One of the prayer, I'm not trying to mock. It says, Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, to you do we cry, poor, banished children of Eve. And I remember the day we were praying that prayer. I said, God forbid. I'm not a poor, banished child of Eve. I'm rich in Jesus Christ. I've been born with a price. I'm God's own. And when I said it to my dad, he said, you are becoming an extremist. I said, no, I know my place in Christ Jesus. I can't pray. I'm not trying to destroy whatever you believe. I'm not against you, but I can't pray those prayers. Then he said, okay, what of this other one? I said, no, I don't need anybody to pray for me. I pray to the Father by the Spirit. I remember one day I told my sisters, I said, even Mary needed the help of the Holy Ghost to pray. She didn't know how to pray as she ought to. She was in the upper room when the Holy Ghost came upon the 12 and upon her. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. Mary prayed in tongues. They didn't believe me. I said she prayed in tongues. So if she prayed in tongues, Mary cannot go against the word of the Lord. Yes, sir. Listen, Mary was a very decent woman. See what she said. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be done to me according to your will. Meaning, according to Mary, her mindset is this. Let it be God's will. I am only down for God's will. I don't do anything outside of God's will. A woman that spoke like that cannot come and give you a chaplet and say, pray through me. It must be a demon. And this is hard truth that people a lot of times fight. But it's the truth. I was standing before a woman. I told her, can I pray with you, ma? She said, don't lay your hands on me. I am praying to my mother, blah, blah, blah. I said, ma, you are dying. Can we lay our hands and just, you know, the situation was pulling on her body. And she told us, no, she was trusting whatever was going to help her. We left there that evening, she died. And there are all kinds of... You know, there's a book, How to Die a Happy Death. Who has ever died a happy death? Even the person that wrote that book did not die a happy death. Who would want to die? Say, I'm dying now. Happy, I'm happy. Even that person, when death was knocking on the door, he ran to the hospital. If death is so nice, why are we having doctors? Why are we investing in medicine? Death is not beautiful. Are you listening to me? You got to understand this. Ah, my God. I wish you can believe me. I've ended up. You know, I saw a news this morning that broke my heart so much. A lady was bitten by a snake. I said, dear Jesus. You know, Satan doesn't want us to explore the glory. Satan does not want us to explore the glory. God bless her soul. I'm so sorry to the family and the rest. And I've never been interfaced with a snake before. I've never seen a snake in my house before. I'm not trying to be proud or stupid. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But it's not God's will that we die like that. Tell somebody, explore God. Explore God. Now, look at, you are doing all your best. All of you clean your houses. I'm sure that lady that died had been cleaning her house. She never saw a snake. And all of a sudden, a snake fastened itself and beat her. She has done all her due diligence. Yes, she still died. It's not God's will. God does not want us to die like that. And we're not trying to blame her and we say sorry to the family. But we're still emphasizing, I've never had that encounter. But I think we should get our minds prepared for things like this. Even if there's a snake in your house right now, in your room right now, is it God's will that you should die?
No, sir.
Are you getting what I'm trying to say now?
Yes,
it's not God's will. Now, in the Bible, a snake fastened itself and beat Paul. The Bible says Paul shook the snake and threw back in the fire. Do you know their reality? Me, I like to touch everything in God. Let me tell you something. I was almost an atheist before I became a Christian. Some people even believe I'm an atheist. I told some people I don't like know how to practice religion. If God is real, let's explore the God to the core. I can't be a Christian and die as a mere man. No. He said, I've seen an arrow on the face of there in the book of Psalms. He said, where men are walking with their barefoot, are riding horses, sorry, and kings are walking with their barefoot. Kings and gods are walking. He now said, are they not gods to them that the word of God was sent to in the Old Testament? He said, were they not gods? You that God is even living on your inside. What happened to Paul? What did God do in the heart of Paul, people of God, that made Paul to see a snake bite him? He did not shout, Abego. He shook the snake, threw it back. What did God do in the heart of Paul? It was not a special anointing. Don't call it special anointing. Everything Paul had, the Bible says he has given to all of us the same measure of faith. It's a function of exploring it. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? I was explaining something to somebody. I was listening to a killing, one of these events in Jos. A pastor was explaining how they came to his house and killed people in the compound. He was crying. So the testimony was not even a testimony to him. He said, Sunzo Gidana, meaning they came to my house. They entered. Before they entered, I told my wife, this is not how we're going to die in Hausa. He held his wife's hand and said, let's go outside. Follow me in the name of Jesus. This is not how I will die. He ran outside with his wife. They entered the house. They killed people in the compound. It was a big compound. When they were done, they were coming out. They looked around him. Look here. They did not see anybody. They did not see him. They did not see his wife. And they left. Now listen. When I heard the testimony, we couldn't celebrate it because people have died. Are you together? I'm trying to explain. But let me ask you a question. The God that did it for this guy, is not the same God of the people that died? I'm not trying to mock anybody that is dead. Because that's persecution. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And it's not God's will. But I tell you the truth. There are a lot of things in God we are yet to touch yet. And if you are in faith and plug into them, you will touch them. Do you know in scripture a man disappeared called Philip? When he was done preaching, the Bible said that the Ethiopian man raised his head and he could not see Philip. For Philip had disappeared. When we talk it now, there are some people that are civilized Christians. They think we are mad. So Satan can disappear. Where did Satan get his ability from? They were in the upper room. Did Jesus take an elevator to be there? Why they were in the upper room? They just saw Jesus enter the wall and came. Peace, be still. These are realities in God. And somebody said, Pastor, should I just aim it and be praying to become it? No. See, if you know that this is a reality and are praying in the spirit enough. Tell somebody, pray in the spirit enough. Pray in the spirit enough. Pray. Paul said, I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than ye all. There are different kinds of birds, but they are best in higher level. Listen, nobody is forcing you to pray in tongues. You will make heaven if you don't pray in tongues. But you will suffer some consequence on the earth if you don't pray in tongues. There's a difference between turkey and eagle. But they are all birds. There's a difference between a Christian and a Christian. But they are all Christians. What is this distinguishing factor? The fact that they explored certain things that other Christians did not explore. Nobody is saying you go to hellfire for not praying in tongues. But there are certain things you will not touch. How can you explain Paul dying and coming back to life? When we say this thing, people think we are joking. Paul died and came back to life. I shook men that have told my wife they are devils before I shook them several times. Nothing can happen to me. The least things that, listen, I'm more scared of a bullet than a demon. I'm telling you the truth. If there are two things you put and say, which one are you scared? I would say gone. Gone. A witch, even if a witch give me food, I tell you I will not die. It has become I've grown with it. I was taught like this from the basis of my faith. I remember my spiritual father telling us a story. He ate poison. The dead woman was dying, she confessed. Zobo and fried rice. He said, Pastor Simon, if they told me it was poison that day, I would have eaten. The food was so delicious. I don't know what on earth would have made me not to eat. And the woman was confessing to the mother before she died. But you see, the reason why Satan wants you to walk in sin is so that you don't explore this realm. Because guilt will not come. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And you will not have the impetus. You will not have it to pray for these realities. We are come to Mount Zion, the city of the Lord, in an innumerable multitude of angels. Where the speed of just men are made perfect. Look at where we are. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? You can't be sick. You can't. Just get into your house. Listen, you enter into your parlor, your family house. You say the name of Jesus, there's peace in this atmosphere. Demons check out their walls of fire. You think you are joking. If you know who you are, as you are saying it, they are arranging like that. In the name of Jesus. I told my wife one time we're having a land issue. I said, they are going to attack us. The Lord just opened my eyes. She was wondering. On Thursday, the attack came. It was on Thursday, on a Sunday morning, early in the morning. Spiritually, they came, lined in the front. I stood up, they ran for their lives. I went to the man physically. I said, if you come again, I kill you. He said, hey, they are calling me with you. I did not do anything. I said, you can share the news around. Me and you know what we just discussed. You come again, I kill you. If you want to joke, you come again. And you'll be dead. I have never been scared of witches. I have never, since the day I understood Jesus. Paul said, are there no food for us to eat for some of us that have knowledge? He said, food given to idols, are we not supposed to eat them? Are you listening to me tonight? I hope you know many people have died out of witchcraft and wizards. They will sit in a dirty environment in one village killing people. You will finish school. I just saw a news recently. A guy defended his project and died. Defended project and died. And the family were crying that he was sweating during the burial. They killed him. They know they killed, but they can't do anything about it. Listen, you are vulnerable, except you have a spiritual edge. And God is the highest in the realm of the spirits. God is what? The highest in the realm of the spirit. Check out any man you know, any courtesan you know in this town, any godfather you know in this town. Some of them have died. Some of them are yet to die. But God remains forever. There is no power greater than the power of the Almighty. Remember recently, there was a courtesan, a very big courtesan that died recently. It was a time you can't build in the whole of high level without going to give him commission. But where is he today? You see that? No force, no power. Whatever the government are doing today, one day they will die. Are you beginning to try? They don't even know that it is God that is sustaining them on those seats. They'll die. The only force that remains forever is God Almighty. Get plugged, be wise, get plugged eternally into God. Eternally. You see, the way I have faith in God is I'm not scared of any situation. God told Gideon, He said, whatever you do, you will prosper, for I am your peace. Gideon created a tabernacle there. He called it Jehovah Shalom. He's the one that called God Shalom the first time in scripture. He said, Jehovah Shalom. Meaning he has peace on every side. You see, the way I have faith in God, I don't pray for bad things to happen to me. But if bad things happen around me, the way I have faith in God, I will pray. And it will change. I hear that my mother is sick. I don't pray she is sick. I will pray. They keep my father. They say he cannot walk. Maybe I did not see it very well. I will lock up myself and pray. I told somebody, a pastor shared his testimony. His daughter could not walk. Something, a sickness, they predicted she would die in 1 month. He held the daughter for 3 days. 3 days! He was praying in tongues. He didn't know it was 3 days. In Abuja. No food, no water. 3 days. And when the Lord told him, he's done. He opened his eye. He gave the daughter to the wife. He said, let them go and test her. They tested the daughter again. Perfect. No iota of that thing in the daughter again. How if there's a man to pray? There's a God to answer. Are you listening to me tonight? If there's a man to pray, you have a skill, you will not get a job care. You will not get a job and you can pray. You keep your skill, you keep skill and you focus on the skill and look up to heaven. God, in the name of Jesus, this skill is giving me billions for your kingdom. You are bringing your strong reasons. I'm hitting my 10 million. Have big visions that scare you. Say, as a Python programmer, in the name of Jesus, the Lord is giving me a contract of over 5 million. I see that contract. My eyes are open to see it. That is why you wake up in the night and be learning new things in Python. Because you want that gig. Bow your heads and pray. You are the Lord. Most high, you are the Lord. You are the Lord. Most high, you are the Lord. You create the seas and the stars, you are the Lord. There is nothing you cannot do, you are the Lord. I worship you, most high, you are the Lord. I worship you, most high, you are the Lord. You are the Lord, most high, you are the Lord. You are the Lord, most high, you are the Lord. You create the seas and the stars, you are the Lord. There is nothing you cannot do. I want people to pray, point out their heart on the Lord. That God, outside you, I have nobody. Let the Lord know that today, that outside him, you have nobody. He is your number one and number 100. There is nothing you cannot do. You are the Lord. I worship you, most high. Yeah. I worship you, most high. You are the Lord. I worship you, most high. You are the Lord. Shabakaya. I worship you, most high. Barakabala kashubragadiya kaba. I worship you, most high. You are the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Barakoshia bakatabaya katabaya. Shabaka paraka baba yakataya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Karabaya katabaya. Shakabaya kataya. Be your glory and power and honor forever. Be your glory and honor and power forever. Oh Lord, be your glory and honor and power forever. Be your glory, be your honor and power forever. For your name is holy. Your name is holy. For your name is God. For your name is holy. You are so holy. Arakabaya yabak. For your name is holy, so holy. For your name is holy, you are holy. Ayabakabayak. For your name is holy. You are so holy. You are God. Woo. For your name is holy. Akatoshia bakala rabaya kaboshia kaba. We lift our hands to you, possessor of the heavens, possessor of the earth. Lord, you are holy. You are the great and mighty God of all the heavens. You're the God of all the earth. You are holy. We lift our hands to you, possessor. Possessor of the heavens. You are holy. 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 You are the great and mighty God. You're the God of all the earth. You are holy. We lift our hands to you, possessor. Possessor of the earth. Lord, you are holy. You are the great and mighty God. You're the God of all the earth. Ora na mashia ra ba kose ya ra ma ya ra no. Onna ba kara re ba ya kara re bo si ya ra bo. Onni ya ra ba kara ra ba ya ra ma ya kone si ya ra do. Onni ya na ma kona marade. Ya ra ro sa ra ba de aka. Liana no no mosere ko si ya ra ba. Omma na na kara ba ya ka ba 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 ya. Uarabosi araba korarate, ora barate ako barate ata, umana ni ale ako sarade, berara ko na baradisha, umana ne bakarade barorate,
Bombarashia kora bane bakarade. I'm an envoy of His glory. Through me, God is liberating my family. I'm not allowing this situation to continue as a norm in my family. No, I will not. Through me, God is liberating my environment. My level is changing. I am receptive to the word of God. I'm breaking forth on every side. My time has come. My season has come. My help has come. My help has come. I have received His word tonight. The Bible says He sent forth His word and delivered them. Lord, I've received Your word tonight, and I'm walking into my deliverance. La bakara bakaba baba yakabo yakarabaya. Jakamba takata laba yakabaya. Barakata yakatabaya. Kaba baba baya kaya. Ragaba takati yakonde baya. Go ahead and pray. Leshuba kalaria bakaba. Go ahead and pray. Don't just be watching us. Make sure you are praying everywhere. Le prende kasula bregadia kabaya. Rapakatosia kabaya. Father, we give you praise. I sense so strong. I sense so strong a window of heaven open for repentance tonight. Somebody is saying, Lord, I'm repenting from this particular thing. I'm hearing it in my spirit. Pour it out to the Lord. Lord, I'm repenting. I'm repenting from this thing that will limit me from standing as a mediator between what You will do for in my life and for my family. Lord, tonight, this thing that will cause me to become a limitation, I'm repenting from it. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. I'm breaking out from it in the name of Jesus. Somebody is saying, Lord, this thing I've put my hand into, I'm removing my hand. In the name of Jesus, You are my all and all. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Pray, pray, pray. Now aggressively say, Lord, I'm entering into my next level. Aggressively pray. Aggressively. Aggressively. Parakata yabagabaya. Whatever I need to see, I see. Whatever I need to understand, I understand. Parakatia katosia bagaba. Lekabashia kaboya. Nothing will stop Your glory from finding expression. Nothing will stop me. Nothing will hinder me. This thing that is rising in my life, seeming to want to hinder me, it will not. I will see the end of it, and I have seen it today. You pour out Your spirit on every heart. You sent for Your word, and it came to pass. What our fathers and mothers could only foretaste, it's now in our lifetime, and it's the order of day. Hearts are aligning. Arakaba Shubregadia Kabaya Kaba. His spirit is moving. He's breaking addictions. He's breaking religion. His spirit is moving. His spirit is moving. Lord, I make up my mind. I stand strong. Like Gideon, I may be the least of the least. But by your spirit, for he has chosen the weak things of the world to confirm the wise. I refuse to accept that I'm small. No, I'm not small. I am who God says that I am. I am who God says that I am. Barakababaya. So break forth, O spirit of the deep, cry out, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. So break forth, O spirit of the deep, cry out, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. Barakababababa. You reign. Thou ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And our lives will never remain the same again in the name of Jesus. Let's get seated and celebrate Jesus.
I'm sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.